T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, joined now by Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
We promise that we will be more exciting than episode number 2 of The Bachelorette.
We can only hope.
Honestly, there was a lot going on in this episode. It just seemed very uneven. It went from super dull to Stalker City to super dull and back again.
And a lot of passive men in this group.
There is. I do wonder, though, when that's going to turn, because there's already a lot of crap talking, and there were a couple people that confronted Cam, so I wonder when it's going to boil over from the passive folks joining to the group of people that already want to rip Cam's head off.
Even in the first, like the first week, they, a lot of complaining about, on group dates, not having enough time to talk to Hannah, but you're spending all this time talking about not having enough time, or going to confront, in this case, Cam on that group date.
So he wasn't on any of the dates, and he was not happy the fact that she was ignoring him. Feels fantastic, man.
He wasn't on any of the dates, yet you could not get rid of him.
So really, what this, the whole episode was Luke and Cam, and then how everybody felt about Luke and Cam. And then I guess a little bit of Jed in there, because he can sing. So for the second group date, when he knew he didn't have anything that week, Cam decided to crash the group date. I don't know what he was hoping to accomplish here, or if this is strictly one of those, hey, you're not happy about being on a group date. Wouldn't it be cool if we drove you over there and you decided to interrupt?
Yeah, I don't know if he thought that Hannah would just drop the entire group date and be like, okay, actually, you're here. Let's go off together and have our own date. But the talking in third person and the ABC, always be Cam, I couldn't do it.
And I thought he had so much potential, both after the rose and then even last week a little bit. Even the beginning of this episode when Jed was playing guitar and he did a little bit of freestyle over that. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe we're not super crazy. Well, turns out he's super crazy.
It only took to week 2.
And to think we didn't think there would be any drama. Cam is leading that charge. And so that group date, the second one, they had roller derby. They rolled out, speaking of rolling, they rolled out Fred Willard. I don't know how roller derby works. I know I wouldn't be able to do it. Throwing their bodies on the line. And then he just decides to show up with some flowers. Nobody was having it. And the best part was, instead of just, so he came in, says hello, does his spiel. I was kind of hoping she'd just send him home right away.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like last week, when he's like, we need to talk.
Yeah.
Now, she kind of liked it.
I think by the end of it, she was okay with the fact that he interrupted that date. I think at the beginning, she was talking to Devin, and she was kind of shocked, and you could see her like looking at the crew, like, what is he doing here? She goes back to Devin, and she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what what this is. And then, but by the end of it, she didn't send him home, and she seemed like, okay, yeah, like that meant a lot that you interrupted the date to let me know that you were thinking of me, which I don't get.
I don't get at all. And so I was disappointed that she didn't just kick him to the curb. But then I appreciated that the show had him do his stand-up right outside the back door. So this way, there was just one guy after another coming out and be like, hey, bud, really felt disrespected. And each person seemingly that really wanted to have a talk with him came out.
They're kind of lame confrontations, though.
They were, but that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if Cam is able to stick around, how quickly that will bubble up. Because every year with The Bachelorette specifically, they always make it seem like there's going to be a confrontation between at least two of the guys.
Yep.
And there never is. I think this might be the year that changes.
Cam and Luke P are here for a few weeks at least, because there's definitely a lot of unresolved drama around the both of them for different reasons.
Totally. And I think that's maybe why we have a chance for this to just blow up, because not only do you have psycho low-hanging fruit who's probably going to go sooner rather than later, but you have potentially the psycho front runner in Luke. I don't even know where we want to start with him. So he's on the first group date. This is going to be the Mr. Right pageant. Give a little bit of what she has to go through of dressing up and doing the, you know, the swimsuit and the talent and everything.
Catwalk.
But Luke, while he crushes the swimsuit portion because he has what appears to be a 12-pack.
Yes.
Oh, my God. The talent portion.
No talent.
What?
Unless your talent is just telling the woman that you just met 48 hours ago that you are falling in love.
And I don't know if he planned that out or if he just, I'm going to wing it, and then saw that it wasn't going to be received well. So he's like, I better just go for it all. And decided to jump full into the falling in love with you. I mean, she still has the hots for him and fine, but that didn't really land with anyone.
And the thing with the group dates, because she mentioned this, especially during the roller derby one, was she doesn't care if you're good at the activity on the date. She just wants you to do it and have fun and see how you can have fun doing something that you're uncomfortable with.
Show up.
And
that's all she said. Yeah, just show up.
He didn't in the talent portion because, I mean, we saw unicycles and trumpets and
juggling,
singing, walking in heels. We saw it all, but just have fun with it. Do something, not bearing your heart and soul to someone that you just met who is kind of creeped out about it.
And even without a talent, he somehow wins, although he doesn't win the rose. That goes to Jed because he was serenading her. And Jed actually seems, because a lot of times these singer-songwriter types, and I think you mentioned it last week, A, they're not usually very good.
Yeah.
But B, okay, they just want to be able to play for a few extra dollars and the true not here for the right reasons.
Promote the career.
But Jed actually seems like he might be a good dude.
I actually like Jed a lot in the way he handled the whole Luke P situation with walking in on the massage, which was so awkward. And you could tell that he did not know what to do. And he even said it. He's like, I didn't know if I should have stayed or just turned away or just walked out.
I'm glad he didn't drop his pants because that's what he did. So I'll come yes. in with my pants down. No.
That would not have been good. Mm-mm. He handled that whole situation well, and I think he's a front runner in my eyes.
The thing about Jed is if he doesn't end up winning 2 weeks in anyways, I think he has the best profile to be a bachelor.
Yes.
And I know we're way early to be starting the horse race for who's going to be the next Bachelor.
He could turn out to be like the worst person ever in the villain, but
totally. Maybe he decides to smash his guitar over someone's head and he's got three girlfriends and we don't know.
But right now, I agree.
Yeah, because not only has he you know, done well these first couple weeks, but you know, I know you put something up on Bachelor Podcast on Facebook about, you know, just all these different Instagram photos where it's not your typical, you know, use code Jed for he's with puppies and he's praising his mother. And it's just like, wow.
Perfect all-American guy.
And so, like I said, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but 2 weeks in, given we've only gotten to really see six of these guys, but 2 weeks in, I think Jed, if he doesn't win, because I, like you, I would put him near the top right now. Gotta be, the ABC people have to be very excited that they have someone like that in the Bachelor universe right now.
Yes.
Assuming we don't find like dirty tweets or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing great in my book.
And the date that we haven't mentioned, and there's probably good reason for it, there was a one-on-one with one of the Tylers. Which one was it?
Tyler G.
Yeah, right. The reason why I even ask is because I don't know if I could pick him out of a lineup now, and I've watched him for 4 hours.
He's the one that kind of looks like Kevin, but not.
Oh, and then Kevin looks like a Tyler, and a Tyler looks like a Dustin. I don't know. Everybody looks the same.
Yeah, it's ABC has not been getting our notes about keeping the names up. Because I had to watch it with like the cast list next to me because they were not too. And she's been trying. She, like, even, you know, when people got sent home, she's like, oh, it was, you know, thanks for being here, Darren, or, you know, something like that.
And even when she gives them the rose, she says their name twice.
Yeah.
She calls them up. So she'll be like, Katie, come. Katie, will you? And I'm like, all right, yes.
Well, I mean, you got to learn somehow.
It's not helping me yet. But so Tyler G goes on a one-on-one date. They go four-wheeling in white, which, I mean, I guess is just...
Obviously.
Obvi. I mean, I'm not a four-wheeler, so maybe that's just how you do it, so you can show the mud properly.
That's the exact reason why you wear white.
And then they sit down, and almost the first thing she does is talk about Colton, which, great job. Way to really turn the heat
this
up.
This is going great.
Hey, I know we're having this date, but how about our first conversation is about my ex-boyfriend?
And how into him I was until I went on to this date.
Cool. All right. I can see this is going to go well. Although he did get the rose. I mean, I don't think she's quite in the spot to send a one-on-one date home right off the bat. That would probably set a bad precedent.
Her first one. It was a boring date. He seemed to be a good conversationalist. It seemed like a natural date.
He seemed like a real guy.
Right, but it wasn't, like, there weren't the sparks, or it was just a boring, okay date.
Did they spend, 5 minutes on this date?
Yeah.
It was ABC, I mean, obviously the date was all day, but it was just so...
If that, 5 minutes is stretching it.
So bleh. Like, nothing really happened. I mean, I guess the helicopter that took them away was, okay, that's cool. Because let's just land a helicopter in a driveway. That apparently is a thing you can
do. In front of all the other men that I'm dating.
Yeah.
That was about it. It was...
And this is what I'm saying. Okay. So we would go from, you know, group date one with Luke, which is like major crazy, to all the way down to boring with the one-on-one, to all the way up to crazy, but really only because of someone that wasn't even on the group date. And then we come back down to the cocktail hour where,
nothing.
Not a whole lot going on until we have the undressing situation. Yeah. And I'm a little confused because she's in all this. So we've already gotten to see some of Luke P's irrational behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And even she was very clear of, oh, this is so quick, this is so quick. And he doubles down with her right away. Instead of trying to backtrack or maybe say, I got caught up in the moment, he's like, tractor beam, like, no, this is happening.
Yeah.
But she's sort of into it, I guess. I don't know if she's just thinking about the abs or what.
Well, I think so. I mean, if you just watch the massage scene, she gets very into it very fast. But I think she definitely still has a guard up because this was so fast. And even after the rose ceremony, you have the little makeout / whisper session in the room. But I think she's definitely cautious about him, but is believing everything he says, which is probably foreshadowing for not a good thing. But he could surprise us, I guess.
There are a couple things to unpack from this whole situation of you can trust me to let me unzip your dress and then you take my shirt off. Is the you can trust me, usually people that say you can trust me, you
don't have to say it.
You probably shouldn't trust the people that say you should trust me.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times in your life have you said, oh, trust me, and you were totally confident what was happening at that time?
Yeah. Nope.
Not at all. So, fine. You know, she did say she wanted men to be upfront with her and be very blunt and tell them what she wants. So, okay, I guess.
But I think then this happened and she was like, okay, not if it means this.
Yeah, guys, I really want you to just let me know how you're feeling. Okay, guys, maybe we can just dial it down a little. You know, you're at like a 12. I need you at like a 5.
Yeah, can we muffle this for a little bit? You're getting too much.
At least wait until maybe we are traveling out of California before we start professing love, because it's a little bit fast-tracked.
Yeah, and I mean, it's good that she's being cautious, and you can definitely see it. Like, she's, I don't want to say scared, but kind of, because she's like, it's literally been 48 hours and you're saying this to me and you keep saying that you loved me before you even met me, and that's never a good sign. So
I mean, how many red flags can this dude like fire into the air before
Yeah.
You start to say, oh, yeah, maybe. And we, you know, we see a little next week that maybe she starts to figure it out. But in the light of day, he is very clearly saying, hey, this is a problem. Hey, this is a problem. And she's still like, hey, let me take your shirt off.
Yeah. She's going back and forth. But it's good that she's being cautious with him.
But is she? I mean, she's saying she is.
I think so. I mean, you can see the hesitation that she has with him. I mean, not the physical attraction. That's obviously there.
And hard to blame. I mean, my God.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think she, you can see the sense the hesitation that she has when she's around him.
Mm. I'm not getting that. I don't know. And I do, and I've said this before, and I will say it again, and I'll say it for the rest of my life. If I looked like that, I would never wear a shirt. Like, we would be doing this podcast right now, and I would just not have
shirtless.
A shirt on. And our boss would walk by and say, looking good. Like, it's just, yep, that's right. I'm going to own it. So I don't blame her for being in a rush to take his shirt off again. I just don't know how it jives with, hey, that's a lot really fast. Hey, let me take your shirt off.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like she wants it to just be more fun right now before she gets into all the love talk. But because the love talk already came out, it's just all mixed together and it's making for some awkward times.
But that was a top 10 Bachelorette moment when she's taking his shirt off, which was supposed to just be, let me take your shirt off so I can give you a massage, and then very quickly turned on to, we're making out and I'm taking your clothes off, which is fine. And poor Jed.
I felt so uncomfortable.
And he even was sort of, not quite hedging, but wasn't, some people, year to year, are like, oh yeah, I have my rose, whatever, I'm definitely going to talk to her. And he was sort of like, yeah, I want to spend some time, and was... And then, of course, the time that they, hey, why don't you go talk to her now? She's making out and stripping one of the other contestants.
I just felt the awkwardness, and he just didn't know what to do. Which I guess that's how I would feel, too. I'd be like, I don't want to run away, but like, I don't want to stay here either, obviously.
And her reaction was actually probably one of the more real things we've seen from her. And although I think she's been, again, another episode where I think she's been really solid.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately, this isn't what it looks like. And I guess it wasn't. I mean, it sort of was. But that's the natural reaction for anyone, whether you're caught at work doing something you're not supposed to do, or, you know, if you put your feet up on a desk and your boss walks by, or you happen to say, like, you never curse, and then you say curse when your boss walks by, and it's not what we were saying.
Yeah,
something else.
And she just felt so bad, because I think she does care about Jed a lot, and obviously he already had a rose, but she was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, just... All right, start putting your shirt back on, because I need to figure this out, because I feel so bad. And then they sat down and talked, and it went very well, I think.
And I think if you're telling somebody, oh, quick, put your shirt back on this early in the season, yeah. I think it goes back to maybe things are going a little too fast.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to sex shame or slut shame or anyone, him or her. God bless. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I was, I think, a little naive about when there was a clip about how, like, I've had sex and Jesus still loves me, that it was talking about her past. But I'm starting to think, oh, maybe she has sex during the season. God bless.
Yeah. Like, can happen.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. So I'm starting to think, especially as some of this stuff speeds up, that that's what's going to happen. But it just... From caution to we're taking clothes off to, but it's like, not what it looks like.
It's very back and forth.
And oddly enough, that might, like, obviously it was one of the more humorous things we've ever seen, but might not have actually been the most cringeworthy part of the cocktail party as a whole. And that would probably be three people sitting in a rose petal heart.
With a platter of chicken nuggets.
And the nuggets I'm okay with.
Yep.
They're delicious. Perfect for any occasion. Hashtag not sponsored. But this is another example of he just doesn't get it. And this is, we're talking about Cam now.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason he interrupts. Was it Kevin?
Yes.
Again, another one that looks like three other guys.
Yeah, I had to leave it blank until...
Yeah, I have an underline.
He went back in.
So I think it was Kevin. And he interrupts, but instead of saying, hey, can I steal her? It's, oh, I have something for all three of us.
Which is never good. So uncomfortable.
There are so few times where you want to hear, whether you're a guy or a girl, another guy or a girl saying, it's for all three of us. This is right at the top of the list. I'm kind of surprised Kevin went with them.
Yep.
But so he leads them over to this romantic, I guess, planned for three?
I guess.
I don't know if he was just doing that so he didn't have to say he was taking her, or...
Which I don't know why...
Was always going to be planned for three?
Which I don't know why he would feel weird about that now, at this point.
I mean, you just crashed... A group date in which not only were you not invited, but you weren't invited on any of the dates. So all of a sudden you're going to want to be inclusive of other people?
Yeah.
It was weird.
I think it was more of a dig towards Kevin. Like, oh, I'm taking her away from you, but, you know, I'm going to make it look like I'm still including you and we can all have chicken nuggets.
Yeah. And so this is where I'll go back to sort of the boiling over. So afterwards, he comes in and tells the guys, and Cam must have run back, like finished with her real quick and run back, because Kevin wasn't even in the end of his first sentence about what happened. And Cam was like, hey, what's going on?
And he just like, it just appeared.
And to I guess, Kevin's credit, it wasn't, oh, never mind, dude, it's cool, yeah, how you doing? He said, oh, no, why don't you fill the class in?
Yeah.
How would you explain
it? You were there. You explain it.
And we lost some nuggets because, and I'm still not sure where they even appeared from. Did he knock them out of his hand or something? I wasn't.
I think so. All of a sudden, there were nuggets thrown and then on the ground. So.
Oh, and I glossed over the most important part of that whole thing, is he proposed to her with honey mustard.
Yeah.
Couple of problems with this. Barbecue is the far superior sauce at McDonald's.
I disagree with
that. Oh, my God. This is... You want to talk about red flags.
I disagree with that. Honey mustard was the way to go.
Well, you should have both, but if you're going to choose
one... You should have proposed with all of the sauce flavors.
See, that then, I could get behind.
Like in a heart-shaped box.
But it... Oh, my... Why are you not working for this show? But if you're going to propose with one, barbecue is the king of all sauces. I'm sorry. It's just...
Disagree, but continue.
It's true. You're wrong. It's fine. But he chooses not only honey mustard, but an open honey mustard.
Yeah. Nope.
I mean, maybe they wouldn't let him use it with the... Because then it says McDonald's.
Yeah, it was probably a product thing.
But then the honey mustard is all stale, and I won't use the word. That'll freak everybody out. But you know what happens when something sits out, and we won't use the word.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, don't want to do that. So he picks the wrong sauce, but then it's just this weird, like, it could have been fun if it would have just been you, and you would have picked the right sauce. Like, he just constantly...
Yeah, just strikes out.
Missing the mark. And oddly enough, so we go through all this, and it's drama, mainly really just with Luke, because guys are offended that, you know, he's blasphemy and all this. And then with Cam... We forgot totally, and not because he was there to see, but John Paul Jones, who was creep show number one last week, it's like he wasn't even on the show.
Seems pretty okay this week compared to everything else that was happening.
So I was thinking, John Paul Jones is the producer pick. They're going to keep him around. He's going to cause all this drama. I mean, he gets a rose and it wasn't even a surprise. And they save Cam until the end. And now we have to think, well, is John Paul Jones no longer going to be the linchpin that sort of brings upon all this drama? Or is it now just the Cam and Luke show?
I think it's going to be Cam and Luke for a while. And John Paul Jones is, I think he's just going to slowly just disappear from the show, like get sent home, and then you'll see him again in Paradise. Just for the sake of his name.
Right. And the fact that he's going to show up and people are going to say, oh, it's the name guy. And you have to call him all three of his names all the time. But the one thing I noticed, and because there were a couple people I know last week who said, oh, looked like so-and-so, and who she said looked like Tim Tebow. Was it Tyler? One of the Tylers, maybe?
It was Tyler G / Kevin, because they kind of look alike.
They might be the same person. I don't know.
I think they are.
Maybe they just decide who they want to call. Some shots they want to call him Tyler. Sometimes they want to call him Kevin. Yeah. Saves on room and board. I don't know. But so one of them looks like Tim Tebow, one or both of them. I think John Paul Jones, and you might not even know who the actor is, but the guy that plays the new MacGyver on CBS, Lucas Till, he was in one of the Marvel movies.
Okay.
Little bit of JPJ there. Probably not very, I'm sure Lucas wouldn't want to hear that. And Tyler C, I believe. Again, maybe not. I don't know. One of the, is C a thing? Yeah, Tyler C.
Who creeped up actually in the cocktail party, and they actually had a pretty good conversation. But continue.
Right. And so this is why it popped up, because last week of like, Tyler who? So I made a note because Tyler C, I think, if you've ever seen Homeland, I think he looks like Peter Quinn, who was one of the main characters other than Claire Danes up until like two seasons ago. Go Google that. I'm just saying, we're finding doppelgangers all over the place.
I have another one, too.
Yes.
I think Peter looks like a combination of Ben Higgins and Jason Mesnick.
Two royalty members there.
Yeah. I think Peter looks like both of them.
And how sad was Peter?
Yeah.
When he didn't get, he's like, oh, I just wanted time with her.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter seems so nice.
He does seem really nice. And I heard an interview of a show interviewing Hannah, and they were asking her why she sent home Chasen, the other pilot. And she was like, there's only room for one pilot. So she picked the one in uniform.
And the one that gave her wings.
Yep.
Which she still mentions.
So, yeah. That was a good...
And I understand we're not a month in, but the fact that the first thing basically that she said to him was, oh, it was so great that you gave me the wings. Like,
it was a good move.
Take notes, people. Maybe not a chicken suit, but you wear your your actual pilot suit, or, you know, if you're in the Army, where you're... Your actual
and you'll get through night one.
That's the way you got to go. Was there anyone else from this wonderful group of men? Because it was all the sort of Tyler to Cam and a little bit of Jed in between that we missed out on.
I don't think so. It was kind of hard to get away from both of them.
Although they kind of just Dustin had a nice moment.
He did.
Give him a little credit.
Yep. He seems like a good guy.
He's on the roller derby date, and he gets injured, which, I mean, I don't know how more people weren't sort of carted off because they were falling all over the place. And then he even went out of his way to just say, I'm not going to be one of these guys who's screaming and yelling to get your attention. That's just not me. I mean, as his ankle is, he's doing the rice, you know, he's resting in it, icing it, elevating it. And he just said, I'm just going to be genuine, I'm going to be me. And it was good enough to get him a rose. But yeah, that was someone who, I'm just going through my notes here, that stuck out. Because
yeah, he was a good standout.
And then there's, you know, 17 other people that sort of are the same person.
Seriously.
We did get rid of three. Connor J, who actually had some decent screen time.
Yep.
So it was a little surprise to see him go. Darren, who we saw a little bit of last week, and I don't think we got any of this week.
Mm-hmm.
And someone named Matthew.
I have no idea.
I mean,
they didn't even show him do a full exit. They like showed
the back of his head.
Yeah, they showed like the end of their hug, and then that was it. They cut to the whole toasting. That was it. I had to go back, and I was like, "Who was that guy? Who's that random third guy that they just let go?"
Matthew. Is there even a Matthew on this show?
But there are definitely still some guys left that. You're like, they show, like, they'll do a quick line, or you'll see when the camera pans out, and you're like, who? I've never seen that guy ever.
Yeah, this is not this is definitely an Easter egg by ABC. Yeah. This person is not actually on the show, right? He's just a producer that they put in
like
as a stand-in.
Joey or Devin.
Yeah, like, neither of those are real characters, yeah. Right? Like, or real people on this show.
I
don't believe they exist.
No, they don't.
Other than the asking how to pronounce the name, I'm not sure Mateo exists.
No,
he
doesn't.
Actually been on this show?
No.
I'm not sure that he has. So we're technically, by the character list, or whatever you want to call it, the cast list, down to 19?
19.
And we've seen 7 of them?
Maybe. 7's a lot.
And so the 3 that went home, you know, we picked our fantasy teams last week, and of course all 3 were on my team. So that's cool. So when you're putting together our team sheets, you can just wipe mine down real quick. Just take 3 right off.
Not off to a great start.
Not shocking. Although the only person I had of the 3 ranked high was Connor J.
I think because he did get, even last week and this week, he did get a decent amount of screen time. And I would have picked Connor J over Connor S, who got a little time during the cocktail party. But as soon as they sat down, she was like, I'm confident where we're at. Like, we're good. We don't have to, like,
we don't have to
basically
talk.
We don't have to sit here. Like, you're good. And he's like, okay. And then, like, got up and left.
You get a drink.
And then went into the chicken nugget incident. But I definitely would have thought Connor J would have been here longer than Connor S.
And I understand some people have to be kept around for certain reasons, but Cam, JPJ, Mateo, Joey, mm-hmm. I mean, just so many of these guys who've been on screen for 30 seconds and or shown nothing like JPJ while they were on camera. Like,
yeah,
come on. So we have seen some positives, like we said, with Jed. So I don't want to say this is all negative. And a little bit with Dustin as well. There mm-hmm. have been some positives. But I'm guessing next week, especially if she tells Luke P to slow his roll, and he is probably not going to handle that very well,
yeah.
That this will all escalate, especially as Cam, since he is always being Cam.
ABC.
That's going to lead to further friction between the top and the bottom of this leaderboard here.
Yeah, we're going to start seeing people's real colors.
Hi. And has anything crazy come out yet? I haven't seen, knock on wood, we've gotten pretty lucky about...
No crazy tweets yet.
Please, keep us away from the racists,
but
please.
I'm pretty sure we got through one full episode without Roll Tide.
Oh, I didn't even see. I didn't have a Roll Tide counter.
I 99%
no, you're right.
Sure.
Because
that
I was expecting it. I have it here. Tyler C compared time with her to running out of the football tunnel.
Yep.
And he said, oh, Tuscaloosa, you can relate to that. I was for sure that, oh, here we go. And they both stayed away. That is a great catch.
Yep. I thought it was going to be further than episode 2, but.
But will we have a Roll Tide less episode again?
No.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if you have to say, there would be long odds for that to happen.
Yes.
So for episode 2 with 19 guys now, or, you know, it was 22 guys trying to get attention, for not one of them to scream out Roll Tide in a meaningful moment.
It's a success.
A bit of a surprise. So that'll do it for week 2. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts. I mean, you found us now, so thank you. And you can continue to find us there at Bachelor Podcast on socials. Tell your friends, tell your mother, tell your father, tell any of your pets.
Everyone.
Yeah,
everyone. People you don't know online.
Yeah, just, you know, what? Hey, do you listen to the Bachelor podcast? Cool. We'll be back maybe next week, maybe the week after. I don't know. Keep following along. We'll see if Cam gets punched, and we'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.